You're listening to Hartery Humble.
Welcome to episode one of Hard to Be Humble. Man, this is exciting. I can't believe I'm sitting here recording the first ever episode. This is awesome. So let's see. I'm sitting here Sunday night on August the 4th, and I had a really odd day. I woke up today, got the kids ready, got breakfast eaten, you know, got ready for church. Getting the car started up, car sounds a little funny, sounds a little rattly, you know, and then I back out of the driveway, we're about a couple miles down the road, and sure enough, all the check engine lights come on the car, and I pull off on the side of the road. Anyway, stop, can't go to church, gotta come home, gotta fix the car for the rest of the day. Turns out it was just an ignition coil, so I was able to figure that out. Luckily, I'm slightly... I don't know. I am a handyman, I guess you would say, but I'm like an on-the-fly, learn-it kind of guy. If you did want to know more about that experience, I do try to post it on an Instagram account I have called Nacho Average Handyman. So if you're ever interested in that, I technically do some stuff on there and show off any skill or any knowledge that I have in the handyman world. But yeah, so weird day. But man, this is definitely the icing on the cake, the thing I've been looking forward to all day long to be recording this. So let's see, what else is new? Well, I will be heading out to the number one vacation spot for all Arkansans on Wednesday, Destin, Florida, to spend some time with my in-laws. And I don't know about a lot of y'all. I know in-laws kind of get a bad rep out there, but I have some of the best in-laws a person could ever dream of. And so I'm actually really excited about that. Going to stay in a little condo, going to get some beach action, going to get some pool action. You know, one of my go-tos that I always do in Destin is go to McGuire's Irish Pub. It's kind of on the west side there of Destin. And man, if y'all go to McGuire's. It's awesome. If you hate it, hey, let me know about it. I'll be shocked. But I absolutely love the place. There's probably about like $1 million worth of $1 bills stapled all across the restaurant. And I honestly don't think that I am exaggerating with that $1 million estimate. I think that there's probably news articles that can be found out there where they've actually counted it, but it's insane. Anyways, if you go to Destin, go to McGuire's. A new episode will come out next week. I'm still going to record on Sunday when I get back, but I'll definitely be in a much more laid back and non-stressed, hopefully, after that vacation, unless maybe my car blows up again or has a problem. Let's hope that doesn't happen. So let's see. This week I wanted to kick it off with a little special guest. Gave my friend Chad a phone call. Totally unexpected. I did not prepare him for the phone call. In fact, I called him on my phone number, so he thought it was just me. And wanted to talk to him about a topic that we kind of have a text thread that we do. And it was brought up about men wearing jerseys, sports jerseys, and kind of the rules about that.
Hello.
Hey, Chad. How's it going, man?
Tommy Stickle. Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you this Sunday night?
Man, you know, I'm just looking at 4 more weeks of paternity leave, so.
Sounds good.
Just, you know, got the kids down, so doing good. How about you? Working on cars and stuff, man?
Yeah, working on cars. I had a very unpredictable day, I guess is how I'd say it. Definitely wasn't how I expected it to go. Started, got the kids in the car to go to church, and then didn't make it to church because like all my car started breaking down and all this stuff. But anyways, it's fixed now, which is great. I'm glad that's done.
You spend all day doing that?
Pretty much. How it goes. But it's good.
What was wrong with it?
It had a ignition coil problem. Like, you know, it's a V6 V6 engine, and so one of the cylinders wasn't firing right, and so you just have to like pop out this ignition coil and put in a new one. It is what it is. Hey, I want to talk about men wearing jerseys. I know we had the text thread about that, and yeah. I really think we need to lay out some rules with this, what we think is best and what's right, with what would be right in the world, you know? I think we need to settle this, or at least talk about it or give our opinion. So, do you have any coworkers, or have you seen any people out and about, men in particular? I don't even know if women, I don't know. Women might be an exception here, I don't know, but for men, have you seen them out and about? And when you do, what do you think about them?
There definitely needs to be some ground rules set for jerseys, especially in the South. I don't see many women in jerseys, but I would say the ground rule is it's acceptable to wear a jersey to a football game. And I feel like that's it, right? Like, I feel like that's the acceptable time to wear a football jersey. But where I see football jerseys I think the number one spot is Walmart or a grocery store. I don't know why that's a popular place to wear a football jersey. You're sitting at home, got to grab a few things at Walmart. What's my go-to shirt to put on? It's like Thursday. It's not even game day. It's like, all right, yeah, let me throw on a Peyton Hillis jersey so I can get my bread and milk. Like, I don't understand it.
I know. Me neither, man. I'm like, if I have a jersey, for one, they're extremely expensive, and you're like, do you really want to run that through the washer one extra time? I don't know. I'm always scared it's going to get like faded and stuff. And I was thinking about this. What age? Like, we've got to come up with rules. People need rules to follow in life. So what age, if you're a man or a guy, when do you have to stop just wearing a jersey whenever you want?
I feel like after you get out of high school, it's time to stop wearing jerseys outside of football games. I think it's that young.
That was exactly my thought, too. I was like 18. 18 is the cutoff. Yeah. You can be 18 and wear whatever jersey you want to wear. I don't care. LeBron, whatever. But the minute you are 19, the minute, you better stop that because it's embarrassing.
I mean, what's the point? What are you trying to say? Like, you're wearing a football jersey to support or any kind of jersey to support your team, right? To say, hey, I am an Arkansas fan. I'm at this Arkansas game. I want to show that I'm a fan, right? I don't know. And another thing on top of that, if someone wears, so say Arkansas and LSU are playing a football game, and someone shows up with an Alabama jersey, what are you doing? Like, you showed up to the wrong stadium.
I hate that.
It's that peeve of mine.
Like, they're such a big fan that they go to other teams' games, even when their own team is playing. That's how big of a college football fan they are.
That's fine, but don't wear another team's jersey. I don't get it either. That's on the same level of me wearing a football jersey to Walmart and wearing the wrong team to a football game. Same level for me.
All right.
Outrageous.
And final topic on jersey wearing. So when you're in Arkansas, how acceptable is it to wear? What teams are acceptable for Arkansans to wear? Because I do feel like there are some that are relatively acceptable, or like, you know, teams to rep, and then there's some that are completely unacceptable. I mean, we've already talked about jerseys, but I almost feel like some gear is like, just like, why are you repping that team in Arkansas? No one cares. It's like you just want to be that guy. But I don't know. Any teams come to mind?
Yeah, professional sports. I mean, you see the Kansas City teams, right? In Northwest Arkansas, you see the Chiefs, the Royals, and you see the Cowboys, obviously, too. And then the Cardinals. But outside of that, like, you get to the West Coast and East Coast teams. I mean, some of them are transplants, but outside of Little Rock and in Northwest Arkansas, like, you probably are from Arkansas, right? Like, and there's not many. So it's like, why are you wearing an LA Dodgers jersey?
I know.
Or a t-shirt, you know. It's
the Dodgers. That's the team. I don't know why it's the Dodgers, but that's immediately, I think, what everyone comes to mind. It's like, why are there a million Dodgers fans in Arkansas all of a sudden? Like, no one cared about the Dodgers 10 years ago, no one even cared.
The consistent part of it is anytime you see a quote-unquote Dodgers fan, their gear is always brand new.
Yes.
Like worn out. Like, it's still got, like, the tags on it, you know, like, the stickers on it. So, I mean, you just want attention at that point, or you just think it's a cool logo. But, I mean, come on.
Crazy.
Like, we're Hawks fans. Like, we've been through the good and the bad. Like, we've been through a lot of the bad. We don't want to see. I think that maybe they're just tired of losing, so maybe they're just picking a team. Like, I just want to watch a team win.
I do understand
maybe
that.
That's what it is.
That's one reason why I've never started rooting for the Titans, being here in Middle Tennessee. It's like, they've given me no reason to root for them, and I don't need to root for another questionable type of team in my life. That's just not welcome. I don't need any more heartbreak. So I do understand that, I guess. But I do root sometimes for the New England Patriots, so I guess I'm no better than the Dodgers fan, honestly. But
a lot of Razorbacks on there, though. And Tom Brady, he's a different breed.
That's true.
All right, Tommy Stickle.
All right. Have a great night. Tell the family I said hi.
Bye, man. Will do.
Bye.
See you.
All right, guys. So let's move on to our first big topic of the show. One thing that I really wanted to share with y'all are, in my opinion, the top five Arkansas media members. I also included some Hog personalities to follow on Twitter and why. So, hey, we're starting off with just a countdown, a top five of the best Arkansas media members and Hog personalities. So let's see here. With any list, you always start at the bottom and work your way to the top. So let's start with number five. And this person's actually a little bit mysterious, which is kind of fun. And it's actually Pinto. And for those Hog fans that follow Twitter pretty closely, you have heard of Pinto, I'm sure, because he gets mentioned a lot. And yet, I know nothing about him. I don't know who he is. I don't know how he's connected to the University of Arkansas at all. I'm sure some people do know him and know his connections, but I'm telling you, this person is just, he's with it. If you follow him on Twitter, he does a great job at pulling in stuff kind of from outside of the main Arkansas media loop and bringing in content and making it related to Arkansas. And he just is a great follow on Twitter. You can follow him at Pinto, that's P-I-N-T-O 479, at Pinto 479. He's currently at 3,102 followers. So, you know, compared to others coming up on the list, he's actually the least. But I'm telling you, his stuff is good, and he's just a fan, man. That's what makes him good. He just gets it, and he's not shy about his opinions, too, about how the Razorbacks are doing or what he thinks, and I love that. Right now, his Twitter name is Sir Pinto of House Starkle. So as you can imagine, a lot of his content is how he thinks Nick Starkle is going to win the QB competition, which, hey, I respect opinions. Maybe he sees the guy in practice. I don't know. If I had to guess, this could be so wrong. I'm going to guess that he somehow supports the football program in some way, but I really don't know. Maybe one day I'll know. Maybe somebody can tell me, but man, he's a great Twitter follow. He is number five. So moving right along, let's get to number four. And this one I'm going to cheat a little bit because I'm actually going to do a little combo meal here of two different media members, but they go together. They're a nice, you know, burger and fries combo. So it's actually Trey Biddy and Danny West. These guys have been following Arkansas for a long time. There's really no introduction that I think I need to do. They're kind of the consummate pros. Danny, he has tons of recruiting contacts. Trey, I feel like, has been involved with media and websites and publications for a long time. His Twitter handle says 16 years. And speaking of his Twitter handle, Trey can be followed at Trey Biddy. That's T-R-E-Y-B-I-D-D-Y. And right now he's sitting at 23,900 followers. So he's actually the top dog as far as followers on my list. So he doesn't need any more followers, clearly, but hey, he's great. Also, Danny West, his Twitter handle is at D-A-N-N-Y-W-E-S-T. WEST1 at Danny West 1, and he's at 22,100 followers. So he's actually the second highest on this list. They basically both work for hogsports.com, and I think relatively recently, maybe within the last year or two, they've kind of hitched their wagon to 24/7 Sports, which in my opinion is the best recruiting, high school recruiting website out there. I think a lot of people have begun using it kind of as the main source for information for high school recruits, mainly because what they do or where they kind of made their niche and now it's exploded is they combine recruiting rankings and scores from multiple sources and combine a composite ranking. You're not just getting a biased opinion of a kid from one source. You're actually getting a lot of opinions from more sources. So a lot of people use that composite ranking as kind of the source of truth for football recruiting rankings and all that good stuff. I'm sure Hog Sports getting kind of hooked up with 24/7 Sports was big for them. So they're doing awesome. I think that the content that they put on Twitter is great. They are behind a paywall for some of their content. I would say actually a majority of their content is behind that paywall. You can still glean a lot of information even without being a subscriber there, but kind of looking at a lot of the other subscription or places to subscribe for hog information, they're actually one of the most affordable in my opinion. I think they can be more, depending on deals and stuff, they always have different deals going on, but about $8 per month for a subscription there. So that's actually not too bad compared to some others. Ultimately, you still can get a lot of information from them, and they're very well connected. And just bottom line, they're the consummate pros. So had to throw them on the list at number four. So moving on to number three, I'm actually going to throw out a relative newcomer to the Arkansas media space, and it's Nikki Chauvinel. Right now, she has 11,300 followers on Twitter, and her Twitter handle is at Nikki Chauvinel. That's NikkiChavanelle. And I will, you know, tweet this out later. So if you didn't write that all down, that's okay. I'm sure you can find her if you just type Nikki, Nikki. Like I said, she's relatively new to the media space, but man, I feel like she's really grinding and really putting a lot of great work in, and she just has really good content on Twitter. I can tell that she's really getting connected with the recruits, and one thing that I think she has to her advantage is she's a little bit younger, and so she just knows how to work social media better than some of the older guys or other people that have been around media longer. She just really gets what people want. And I know one thing she has on Twitter that I really like is she tweets out these lists that you can subscribe to of all of the football players that have offers. And you can just subscribe to this list and you can see all their tweets and know who's been offered. It's pretty cool. So I've got to recommend Nikki. She works with actually a guy named Andrew Hutchinson, and his Twitter handle is at NWA Hutch. And I got to give him a shout out because he's definitely the best just pure baseball guy. He tweets out tons of stuff throughout the year. He definitely has a more analytical or geeky angle to him, you might say. You know, I hate calling somebody a geek or whatever, but man, he's really awesome too. And I definitely want to throw him on here as an honorable mention. But hey, I'm giving the number three spot to Nikki alone. And they both work and support the Rivals Arkansas website, which is hogbeat.com, which is HAWGBEAT.com. So I really like what both Nikki and Andrew are doing, and they're doing a great job. So Nikki comes in at number three. All right, and we're moving on up the list to number two. This guy actually has 8,769 followers, so he's not one of the bigger guys, and all the way up at number two, and it is Kevin McPherson, and his Twitter handle is at ARHoopScoop, and that's ARHOOPSCOOP, and I'm telling you, I'm relatively new to following Kevin, but man, he is the basketball king. Like, that's pretty much all he tweets about are people who have received offers and just what's the latest buzz with basketball recruits nationally and specifically for Arkansas. And I'm telling you, this guy's work is awesome. And one of the neatest things about his work is that it's all free. So if you are not interested in any kind of subscription service or don't want to pay for anything, you got to follow Kevin. And he's kind of tied to hogville.net, which a lot of hog fans know is kind of the craziest and funniest fan forum out there. It is really hilarious. You see some funny characters on there. But the great news about Hogville is that all their content is free. And so you can get everything that Kevin puts out and you can know all that's going on in the basketball world. So if basketball is important to you, follow Kevin. He just knows his stuff, and he just puts great content on Twitter. And I'll also give another honorable mention to his counterpart at Hogville, which is Otis Kirk. I think he's been around the Arkansas media a long time, but I did not put him on the list. He follows the football side of it, but I couldn't put him on the list for a Twitter follow mainly because he tweets also and kind of intermixes his tweets with Laker, like Los Angeles Laker stuff, and also a little politics. And, you know, I'm not going to say whether I agree or disagree with his politics, but I definitely can say I just don't really care for the Lakers stuff. And so you kind of get a mixed bag with him. And I'm typically not a fan of people on Twitter that kind of mix their streams, you know, mix their interests a whole lot. So, you know, Otis is awesome of having the free football content, but on Twitter, what I would recommend doing with him, this is what I did, is you can actually filter out keywords if you go in your settings on Twitter. So I filtered out Laker and Lakers from my Twitter feed. So Kevin and Otis are awesome. Free content. You can't beat free. Go follow them. And finally, the top dog, the king of the list, the best Arkansas media member to follow, in my humble opinion, is John Neighbors. And his Twitter handle is at Rush John Neighbors, RushJohnNabors. He's currently sitting at 7,030 followers, and that's far too few. This guy is awesome. And I think what makes him so good is that he is a fan first. He bleeds Arkansas Razorbacks. He just, man, I just respect what he does. He's a radio guy kind of currently, and he also does a podcast called Locked On Razorbacks Podcast that I think is really good. He just knows what fans want, and he's funny, and he's comfortable in his own skin, and he can just speak to fans. I think that's his true strength there. You know, I don't know how many sources or all that kind of stuff he has, but he just knows what we want, and he's just awesome to follow on Twitter. So go follow John, laugh at what he's got, listen to his radio show, listen to his podcast. All right, so let's get into some of the latest news. I'm sure that, you know, if you follow much Arkansas Razorback news, you're going to heard the majority of this stuff coming up, but hey, I at least wanted to touch on it and give some thoughts and opinions. First things first, I couldn't be more excited about a lawn or grass. I'm shocked at how excited I am. They are currently and should be installing next week a lush, beautiful, natural Bermuda grass field. And it's going to be awesome watching the players slide and slip and just... Man, there's just something special about playing football on real grass. The turf, the artificial turf was fine. I don't know. It fit Bobby Petrino for some reason. I'm totally game for that. But, man, there's just something special about the natural grass field, and I just can't wait to see that. And I think a lot of Hog fans are really excited about it. Maybe we're too excited about it. I don't know, but I'm pumped, man. The species that the Bermuda grass is going to be, and I know this is super getting into grass nerd stuff, and I'm kind of getting into that stage of life where, you know, I'm 31, I'm a homeowner, I don't know. I'm starting to get to, like, becoming a dad. You know, I'm talking about lawnmowers with my friends and, like, what poison to put on my lawn to kill weeds and, like, I don't know. I guess I'm becoming an old man already at the age of 31. But anyways, the species is Tahoma 31. And so it's going to be a warm season grass. It's Bermuda grass, but the cold tolerance is really good for this stuff, and it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect for Razorback Stadium, and I hope y'all are excited as I am. But let me know if you're not or don't care or would have preferred the turf. One thing that I saw on Twitter that I think says a lot about the change is Drew Morgan, you know, the wide receiver, the former wide receiver for the Razorbacks, who had a great career and was just, you know, known for his toughness and grittiness, you know. He was our Razorback Wes Welker, if you're familiar with the NFL. He tweeted out shortly after the news broke that their ankles and knees would be very thankful for the switch. I think the players had a perception. Whether the statistics prove it or not, I think there was definitely a perception that this artificial turf was causing injuries. And, you know, you look back to last year when we played Ole Miss in War Memorial Stadium, you know, the weather was cold. It was, you know, cold turf and all that stuff. But we had a lot of people get injured in that game too. Ole Miss had some. You can just tell that in certain conditions, the artificial turf just can be tough, can be tough when you hit it. And I think the grass field is always the way to go with football. It's a natural cushion, and man, it's going to be good. Hopefully it cuts down on some injuries and our offensive linemen stay healthy, and you know, our running backs as well. It seems like those are always the two position groups that get impacted the most. So, man, I'm excited about Tahoma 31. The next news was a huge explosion on Twitter. We all knew that the Hogs were going to be releasing, you know, a new jersey, but I don't know, just following through the course of the way our jerseys have been going, what do you expect? You know, I was kind of thinking it might be a new color, like the anthracite or some kind of weird combination of grays and Razorback red, but man, my heart just like jumped out of my chest when I saw that DMAC replica jersey, and I got so excited. I mean, it brings back all those memories of Darren McFadden, the 06, the 07 season. It was just a special time, man. And seeing the number 5, they just nailed it. Everything about that was such a tribute to Darren McFadden, who is the Arkansas GOAT, the greatest of all time. Darren McFadden, when are we going to build a statue for that guy? I don't know. You know, he never won anything big time, but man, when you talk to Razorback fans, we all adore him so much. And doing this tradition or this throwback to his era of jersey, I mean, how cool is that going to be? And then kind of to compound on the excitement of that jersey, at first I saw the jersey and then there was talk that it was just going to be an alternate this year. And I was like, if they just do it for one game like they did for like the 1964 throwback jersey or kind of the Dallas Cowboy mixed with the Razorback jersey. You know, those were kind of one-off jerseys, and they were so fun and so cool, and I missed those so much. I was kind of thinking this would be something similar. You know, I didn't know what game they'd pick for this, but I kind of got bummed out because I liked them so much, and then I knew that they probably weren't going to be used very much. And then Chad Morris comes out in SEC Media Days just firing away, saying that as long as he's here, and as many opportunities as he has, he's going to throw those jerseys on our players' backs. And that made me so excited. So, you know, Chad Morris, he started off pretty shaky foundation here, but I really think he's got some positives. He's bringing in the grass field. He's bringing us back to some tradition and some roots. He loves the DMAC jerseys. I think he kind of gets it. I think he understands what Hog fans want. And I'm excited about that, man. And I really hope that he can win some games and that we can stick with him for a while, because my personal opinion, just the new Arkansas Razorback font and all the work that Nike has put in with us, it's been neat and I've liked it at the time, but looking back, you know, some of the combos are just kind of clowny looking, and you can't ever beat classic. You just really can't. There's something special about the classic look, and that DMAC jersey, man, that is classic and it just looks so good. So I'm so excited about that. All right, and the next big news that kind of hit, I'm sure it was somewhat expected, but, you know, not all SEC schools are doing it. You will be able to buy wine and beer no matter where you're sitting, as long as you're of age, at Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium this year. That's pretty exciting, actually. I saw the news, and my first gut reaction was, okay, that's fine, you know, for those that want it. I honestly don't think it's going to cause more problems or fights or anything, but I did have one thought. Like, beer is one thing. Like, going to a sporting event and having, like, beer poured on you, you almost expect it. It gets on your shoes. It gets everywhere. Beer's fine. I don't know. It can wash out. Kind of has a funny smell a little bit, but whatever. It's beer. But I was thinking, if somebody were to pour wine on my shirt or my hat or on my shoes, that's going to tick me off. So I honestly think that the wine is kind of the story here. Like, why wine? Like, do people drink wine and watch a football game? Like, I don't think I've ever once heard of that. Maybe I'm just in a weird beer bubble here. Beer and football go together. Like, but who drinks wine and watches football. It just doesn't compute there. Like wine and football, that just doesn't mix. That's just not, I don't understand it. I'm sure, I don't know. If I were to like go down an aisle and I would see like a group of bros, you know, like a group of four or five friends, you know, and they're like acting like the whole bro thing, and one of them pulls out a glass of wine, I'm sorry, but that's just weird. That's unacceptable, right? Just wine and football, nah, they just don't go together. All right, in the final Arkansas Razorback segment that I want to talk about this week, it's just some of the first impressions that I've got from the practices that began. The first fall practices began Friday, August the 2nd, and so we've gotten a few videos from media members. We've gotten a press conference from Chad Morris. We've gotten to hear from a few players, and I just wanted to give some of my initial thoughts, probably bad opinions, things that I might look back and be really shocked that I said in the future. I don't know, but hey, this is what I've got now. And to be honest, my first observations is I'm getting kind of excited. I knew this would happen. It kind of always happens, but man, we got some impressive players out there. Specifically, the group that I think stands out the most, and I'm sure most would agree, is man, that wide receiver group, it has gotten pretty legit looking. We brought in four freshmen, and Trey Knox, Shamar Nash, Traylon Burks, and TQ Jackson. I know that some of those guys kind of have a bigger following, bigger name. You know, Traylon Burks, he kind of came from Warren, and Trey Knox, he's kind of big. He's kind of the more nationally known guy, but all four of these guys look really spectacular. They could be really good guys. It's given me the flashbacks of like the Greg Childs, Jarius Wright, Joe Adams stuff. It's just giving me that vibe, and I hate even speaking that into the universe if it doesn't come true, but man, I think that this freshman wide receiver class is going to be one we remember for a long time. If I had to guess, if I just had to predict how many I think will go to the NFL, or at least play a snap in the NFL, I'm going to go three of the four. I think three of the four are going to play in the NFL, and this could be hilarious to look back on if they all don't end up that way, but I assume that one guy will kind of be, have his career kind of messed up due to injury. It just always happens, but pray it doesn't, of course, for that guy. But these wide receivers just look so good, and I think that a few of them are going to have some really important roles to play this year on the offense. Some other players that I thought I would really like, but man, seeing film of them and actually in action, I was definitely impressed with the Mansfield trio, the Mansfield, Texas guys, all on defense. Jalen Catalan, that guy, he looks like I don't know, the word I come up with, he looks like a cat. I know that's part of his last name, but he just looks quick. He's the real deal, I think. I think he's going to be another NFL guy, and I don't know how much y'all have read about him, but he's going to play safety, and you know, he's not super tall. He kind of fits that safety mold really well, and one of the neat things I saw when I was researching for this week's episode was when you talked, or when people talked to Jalen's coach, kind of unprompted, they would all say that he reminds them or is reminiscent of Earl Thomas, who kind of got famous with the Seattle Seahawks recently and was part of their really awesome defenses. I really think Jalen Catalan is one of those that we need to be really excited. He's on campus and with our program. He played quarterback and safety in high school. His senior year, he got hurt in a really important game kind of at the beginning of the season, so I think it kind of threw off their whole year. But man, that dude's a stud. Also, his two teammates who seem just like amazing people and really cool dudes, Carter and Jackson Jr., man, those guys are going to be holding down the interior of our defensive line for years to come. They're going to be studs too. I just really think that we got some special class this last go-around, and these freshmen are really going to make their impact felt. I was excited what I saw from the QB competition, and it seems like Nick Starkel is kind of the guy that the majority of people are pegging as going to be the starter or the guy they're most excited about. I think because he came from Texas A&M, which was a better school than SMU, and I think also there was just, I don't know, I guess people see more talent there, but I don't know, guys. I think Ben Hicks is kind of, I think he's going to stick around a lot more than most people think. And I think Nick Starkel's doing awesome, though. I think that he will definitely start some games for us. But I think the story of camp so far has been KJ Jefferson. I think he's really, really been surprising. He's another freshman QB that we brought on, and he looks good. And he's getting some really interesting buzz out there on Twitter as well. I think he's one of those guys that a lot of teams slept on, and I know that our coaching staff put a lot of effort into getting KJ. I remember seeing some stuff about basically all of the offensive coaches cramming into this rental car in Mississippi to go visit KJ, and I think that they just really showed him how much they loved him and how much they're going to look out for him, and that's what got him to commit to the Hogs. And man, I think KJ is going to be, I'm going to call it, I think KJ is going to be the QB that really has that breakthrough season of wins that we haven't had in a long time. And when I say breakthrough, I think it's going to be like at least a 9-win season that we get with KJ as quarterback. He seems really legit. He's dual. He can run. He can throw. He's accurate. He can throw deep. He just feels like the type of college quarterback you want. So I'm getting really excited about him. Hey, I could be getting way overexcited, but as far as who's going to be our QB this year, I think we're going to be good with Ben or Nick. I think both will be good. I would say just from a pure kind of seniority aspect, I think Ben Hicks is going to be the guy. I don't think that they would let Nick Starkle start over him yet unless he's clear-cut going to win more games, and I don't think that that's going to be clear. But I think people are sleeping on Ben Hicks a little bit. You know, I know he's the SMU guy, and people don't think he's that great because he lost his job out last year, but I don't know. I think there could be something there, and we could look back and be like, why in the world did we not see more out of him before? Let's see, other thoughts and reactions. I would say this, and this will be my last kind of observation here. It just seems like the players and the coaches and everyone just is more comfortable, and not in like a there's not competition or they don't seem hungry. It's not that. It's more like they just seem like they're a team, and that's got to be a good thing. It just seems like there's a camaraderie there. It just seems like, you know, they know what to expect and that they kind of like each other. They like playing with each other. And I think that's a really important thing to a team. And hey, we'll see how the season unfolds. I think last year, you know, we had, I don't know if you call it drama, but, you know, some things in the locker room. I think some players were probably backing a different quarterback, and you just got people dealing with that transition. But I think that there's a lot of buy-in this year, and guys are starting to get comfortable and know what to expect, and we're going to see. I think the Razorbacks are going to surprise some people this year, including some fans, at what we see on the field, even at the beginning. You know, we're not going to be awesome. We're not going to win 7 games. There's no way, or more. But I personally think we might squeak in there to a bowl game and win 6. But I'll record some content, you know, on a later episode and go more into predictions and all that good stuff. And the last segment of the day that I want to do each and every week for the foreseeable future, and that is to highlight a famous Arkansan. Sometimes they'll be really famous, and sometimes they might be somebody that was behind the scenes. But growing up in Arkansas and being really familiar with just the way Arkansas works, I always feel that Arkansans love to root for fellow Arkansans. When you know someone's from Arkansas, it's like the whole state supports them. And I think that that's so neat and so something really special that you don't get in other states. And so I feel like this will really connect with the audience. But the person I chose today to highlight as the famous Arkansan of the week is J. Hannah Dean, probably better known by some as Dizzy Dean. Dizzy Dean was a pitcher and who played for St. Louis as well as Chicago. He also, I think, played 1 year for a team called the St. Louis Browns. I don't know. I'm not a huge baseball nerd, so I don't know exactly what the Browns became or whatever. I'm sure I could look it up. Anyways, I'm not going to. But Dizzy Dean's pretty interesting guy. He was born in Lucas, Arkansas on January 16th, 1910. You know, Lucas, Arkansas, I actually had to look that up because I did not know where that was, but it's pretty close to Fort Smith, so, you know, in that area of the state. And when I zoomed into it on Google Maps, I saw that Dizzy Dean Road is predominant there, and I literally think I only saw one business, maybe. It was like a car, like a used, like a junkyard for cars, I think, or something. So I don't think Lucas is that big a deal, you know, but hey, Dizzy Dean was born there and he made a name for himself. So let's see here. Why, what, you know, what made Dizzy famous? It was pretty much his baseball ability. He later also became a commentator or a sports commentator, but he's a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He got inducted in 1953, and man, he is an interesting character, kind of reading through some of his stuff. Let me read a few of his quotes that kind of stood out to me. Quote, "Anybody who's ever had the privilege of seeing me play knows that I am the greatest pitcher in the world." Quote, "It ain't bragging if you can back it up. Let the teachers teach English and I will teach baseball. There is a lot of people in the United States who say isn't and they ain't eating." So as you can obviously see, he had a pretty, a pretty big personality that really matches really well with the name of this podcast, Hard to Be Humble. He kind of fits the bill really well. He's probably best known for one of his seasons in 1934 when he helped the St. Louis Cardinals win the National League pennant as well as make it to the World Series and beat the Detroit Tigers. He actually won 30 games in that one season and is the last pitcher to do so. He was definitely known for making predictions about himself in kind of a bragging way. And the crazy thing is he was actually able to kind of make them come true, which is really weird. For instance, in 1934, he predicted that he and his brother Paul were going to win 45 games combined. If you know baseball, that's a tremendous amount. And on September 21st, which is obviously very close to the end of the season, Dizzy pitched a no-hit ball for 8 innings against the Brooklyn Dodgers, finishing with a 3-hit shutout in the first game of a doubleheader. That was his 27th win of the season. And then later on, his brother Paul then threw a no-hitter in the nightcap to win his 18th, matching the 45 that Dizzy had predicted. It's just nuts that he was able to predict that. Apparently, on May 5th of 1937, he bet that he could strike out a player named Vince DiMaggio 4 times in a game. Why in the world somebody would want to bet that, I have no idea. So anyways, long story short, he struck him out for the first 3 at-bats. But apparently, DiMaggio was able to, in that 4th at-bat, hit a pop-up behind the plate. And apparently, the story goes that Dizzy Dean screamed at his catcher, "Drop it, drop it!" And the catcher didn't catch it. And ended up that, yes, Dizzy Dean ended up striking out DiMaggio, making his prediction come true. This dude's just crazy. I don't know. It reminds me of those weird, maybe y'all know people like this, but you know, sometimes you just know these guys with sports that they can just do these weird predictions about themselves. And it's like they can be not so great. And then all of a sudden they make a bet on themselves and they become like next level somehow. I don't know. It seems like Dizzy Dean had that trait. So in his infamous 1934 season in the World Series against the Detroit Tigers, apparently they sent Dizzy Dean out to become a pinch runner. I guess pitchers were more apt to run, or maybe he was a pretty good runner. I don't know. Anyways, the next batter hit a potential double play ground ball. And I guess Dizzy was obviously on his way to second, and he was just this kind of guy. He wanted to avoid the double play. I know that the game has changed over time, but anyways, Dizzy Dean threw himself in front of the throw to first, and the ball hit him on the head, and he was knocked unconscious and taken to the hospital. Just more support of his nickname Dizzy. And anyways, apparently the headline the next day read, "X-rays of Dean's head reveals nothing." And obviously, ha ha ha, funny joke, of course. But anyways, Dizzy Dean, man, what a guy. What an interesting fella, man. It seems like just kind of different stories I've heard through my life. It seems that there were a lot of baseball players from Arkansas. You know, I know that there wasn't big money in baseball that early on, you know, in the early 1900s. But, you know, it seems like a lot of people gave up careers in baseball just to make a living for their family, or they couldn't justify it. But it's interesting. Chalk Dizzy Dean up as a famous Arkansan, and we will celebrate his accomplishments today. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening today. I really appreciate your time and letting me get into, you know, your head or your life or your ear space. It means a lot. I know that this time is precious. All time is precious. And thanks for giving me some of that today. But as always, I want to leave one final message to you amazing fans out there. As Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Thanks so much, and y'all have a great day.